Hello, my name's David Burns of the Assessment Register, and welcome to our podcasts. As you're aware, we're running a series of podcasts, and this particular session is all about the business plan and why have a business plan rather than a quality manual. Well, we've been telling our clients for many years to dump the quality manual and replace this with a business plan, particularly within AS9100. Your organisation and your management system in general is divided into three: the top level, the business plan; level number two, procedure processes; and level number three, your disaster recovery planning. These three levels will of course have sub-levels, and you can decide on these as you structure your system and as you develop your system. However, in the meantime, why a business plan? Well, unlike the traditional quality manual, it covers the AS9100 requirements beautifully, from management commitment right the way through to commercial risk and mitigation matters. The old quality manual, this document almost never pushed the senior management buttons and certainly didn't get that level of buy-in that's expected by both customers and certification bodies today. In fact, you'd be hard pushed to get senior management and bosses to actually read your quality manual. And when they did, it was only a glancing flicker over the policy and perhaps signing it just to keep the quality manager off their back. So, the business plan. A business plan will certainly push senior management buttons, just as long as you don't revert to type and start talking about things like turtle diagrams. That's an absolute no-no to senior management. Most bosses won't know what you're talking about, and most bosses won't be interested in turtle diagrams, let's be honest. Okay, turtle diagrams, not cool, not worth talking about. Okay, the business plan, what it demonstrates. Well, firstly, all companies will have a business plan. Bosses will want a business plan, and it underpins good business practice. Also, for any reader, it demonstrates commitment to the market. It demonstrates that you understand your business in the context of what you're actually doing, and that you've considered all aspects of the business and the resources necessary to run the business. And that's just for starters. What's going to be included in our business plan? Well, in our new modern business plan, we're going to include pretty much everything we need to include the scope of operation, the scope of the management system, customer approvals, your organization structure, your policy statement and your commitment to AS9100 compliance, an asset list, and of course, all your interested parties and stakeholders will be all listed in the business plan. Okay, what else? Well, what's it going to be used for? First and foremost, strategic direction of the business. And the fact is, people are interested in which direction the business is heading. I mean, from the bank manager, through to other investors, through to your customers, your suppliers even, and of course, employees, all need to know that you've actually thought through the business and there is a plan. So the most important thing is, and I don't want to overemphasize this and I don't want to sound like I'm harping on, but the quality manual is yesterday's document. It never really got buy-in from bosses, and the only people that tended to read the quality manual were quality managers, some customers, your auditor, but on the whole, it didn't actually serve much purpose. So within our business plan, we're going to have some key headings, and these are headings for you to consider when you're structuring your business plan. So the first thing is having an executive summary. The executive summary, to include the scope of the management system, just provides a complete overview for any interested reader of what your business is all about, the types of products and services you have, and your background in terms of your history, where the company originated, who's involved, the types of clients you have, and the types of the executive summaries there to provide that overview, to give that warm, fuzzy feeling that you're a business that actually knows what they're doing. The next heading to have is with reference to assets. So you've explained the business in your executive summary. The next thing, you just need to explain your assets and resources for delivering what you say you're going to deliver. The next section, of course, can be certifications and approvals. approvals to include your AS9100 or ISO 9001 or 14001 for the environment, 27001 for your IT and data security, and of course customer approvals. The next section of your business plan, of course, can be an overview of your existing market, your competitors, your stakeholders. Again, providing a more detailed review that you've thought things through in terms of who's involved with your business and who you need to be involved with your business to ensure that you sustain your business development. The next part of the business plan can involve your restructuring options with consideration to your strategic growth. I mean, if you're willing to take on new contracts and do your business development in the way you are, customers want to know that if they're keen to use you, that you've got that ability and thinking outside the box with reference to your growth plans in terms of their wants and needs. Your business plan is your business. It's your strategic direction. It's where you're going. And it's also there to provide any interested party, any reader, with an overview of your business and that you've actually thought it through. That you're not just lurching year to year. Did we make a profit? Yes. How did we make that profit? I've absolutely no idea, but we did. Type thinking. That's yesterday's thinking. If you really want to grow your business, you're going to have to look long and hard. Investment in training, investment in new equipment, investment in buildings and infrastructure, marketing, business development, having to go out and press the flesh and actually win those contracts. This all needs to be documented into your business plan. It's got to be an alive and a kicking document, something that you're proud of. It doesn't have to be long-winded. It just needs to be concise and have some thought behind it. And of course, running parallel with the business plan is your disaster recovery plan. I mean, I know some of my clients, and I'll have to admit this, used to mock me when I used to put into their business plan and underscored by their disaster recovery plan that they'd have to consider a global pandemic. They'd have to consider this. They mocked me. They mocked me furiously. They said, "What are you talking about?" Well, I'm not one to say I told you so, but the fact is, we are where we are now. We have a pandemic, and everyone now is realizing what it actually means. So you don't need me to put that in a podcast. It's happening. It's real. And finally, one of the key things to include in your business plan is, of course, your policy statement. It's the last thing to go in, but it's probably one of the most important in terms of AS9100 certification. It's your policy statement and your commitment to the standard, your commitment to AS, your commitment to ISO 9001. It's your commitment to continuous improvement. And of course, it's a reference to your SWOT analysis earlier in the business plan with a focus on your internal weaknesses and your external threats. So having a SWOT that's an integral part of your business plan, we simply need to highlight the two areas, weaknesses and threats. Internal weaknesses, external threats. Internal weaknesses, how to improve the business and remove those weaknesses. External threats, how to identify and mitigate and downgrade these so they actually are no longer a threat to your business, but it's something you're actually managing and dealing with. So dealing with a weakness, we need to have an improvement initiative, and the improvement initiative needs to be measured against some sort of performance indicator. So that's your first KPI. That's one of your KPIs you can actually use. And again, the information and data from your KPI and your output data can be used to support your PAIRs. Remember the PAIRs we talked about earlier? Process Effectiveness Assessment Report. Well, again, we can use KPIs from our improvement initiatives from the SWOT. So from the top, we do the SWOT, we highlight the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats, tease out the weaknesses, deal with the weaknesses, then you'll improve the business. You deal with the weaknesses by improving and introducing an improvement initiative. On the back of the improvement initiative, we have to lay down some rules. We have to lay down some performance measures, numbers in some form. Those numbers can then be used to identify whether we're improving or not. But either way, they can be used to underpin your PAIRs. And finally, we're coming towards the end of this session. But what we're trying to explain here is that the business plan will be used to underpin your business. It'll be used to underpin compliance. It'll demonstrate strategic development of your business and the fact you've thought this through. It'll underpin your context. It'll explain who you are and what you are as a business. But ultimately, coming towards the tail end, you're using the whole performance indicator thing to actually underpin your pairs. So we've got the SWOT, we've identified our weaknesses, we've teased out our threats. Our aim is now to introduce a form of improvement initiative to remove the weaknesses and dispose of the threats, or certainly downgrade them so they become more of a norm to your business than a threat to your business. In other words, the business plan. So look, thank you for listening. I hope it was useful. And as always, if you need any further support, please visit our website. That's assessment-register.co.uk. And we're going to be uploading more podcasts for easy listening over the coming weeks. Thank you very much.